Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, and it's the month's almost over.
Another exciting evening in store, I bet. Guess what I did this weekend?
You went to the Bahamas.
Nope. I went to Gasparilla Island in Boca Grande, Florida. It's about, about 3.5 hour ride by car from Fort Lauderdale on the west coast of Florida, kind of a little bit north. So it's about an hour north, hour and a half north, and about 2 hours west. And did some tarpon fishing. This is an area that during certain times of the year, the tarpon pass through this, it's called the Boca Pass, pass through this area, and they're on their way to spawning and all this other stuff, and they are gigantic.
Wow.
And we locked into a 90-pounder that I brought to the boat.
Did that... are those good eating?
No eating. Can't even take it out of the water. They're protected.
What do you do with it?
Put it back. Have a lifelong of just fantastic memories.
What kind of memory is it if you don't get to eat it?
Get to just memorialize the tough fight. It was a pretty good fight. I got black and blues actually from it. And seriously. And it took three of us to bring the boat, to bring it. There was one guy that caught it, handed it off to another guy. Then I took it and brought it to the boat. And then the guy should have at least, the guy that we were with should have at least held it for some pictures, but he just cut it loose right at the boat.
Oh, a fish story.
Yeah. Well, I got some pictures, but it was pretty much a wonderful time. Beautiful little island. It's from the early 1900s. It's where the railroad from back in the day that used to run from Illinois down to Florida would end on the West Coast. It hasn't run in many years, but it was the way to get down there. Really cool. So we should get into the markets, I suppose.
All right.
Let's talk about it. Right after our last episode, last Tuesday, the shit hit the fan. Just things went absolutely bonkers. The market posted their worst performance in months as new scandals emerged regarding the White House and Trump, and the it surrounds what is being called the nut job, former FBI Director Comey. The nut job.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And now it seems that the New York Times are reporting that there may be an obstruction of justice going on with Trump, and the FBI is looking into it. Plus, it's almost a daily event right now, isn't it? Something's coming out.
Well, one of the problems is that I don't know why this isn't discussed in any of these news articles, that if anybody tries to obstruct justice, it has to be reported immediately to the Attorney General, and it hasn't been done.
I don't understand how this whole thing went, that it was held off for a while in the notes. And what was he waiting for?
There was no obstruction of justice. This is just a scam.
Scamming who? By who? Who is Comey just pissed off?
By the news media that hates Trump.
Oh, so it's back to that again, huh?
Well, that's all it can be. Hmm.
I don't know. There seems to be now the CIA guy's out tonight saying that he found some irregularities and some concern about the dealings with the Trump campaign in Russia. And I know Russia has been an adversary of ours for years, but it seems that we are back to the time of, I don't know, the Cold War, where Russia was constantly the bad guy. And it's like we're all so fearful of this.
Communists under the bed.
I mean, what is all this about? Why is it so important that I just don't get it, why we're so concerned about this?
Again, I don't know. Ask the media. It's nothing I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and on the news, the markets dropped 1.5% for the S&P. I think it was 1.7% for the S&P. The NASDAQ was down like 2.5%. Small caps were just obliterated. And naturally, the market decided to, well, bounce back the next couple of days. Still down from then, but it bounced back.
Yeah.
Almost to the all-time highs all over again.
Yes, almost. It'll be within the next couple of days. It'll be back up there.
Yep. And the VIX briefly shot over $15. Now it's back to 11.
Right.
I mean, it was up 50, 60%.
The VIX is the big joke about this whole thing. Didn't our VIX contest just end?
Our VIX contest is ending this week.
Okay.
The final numbers. Yeah, you're coming in pretty loud here. Let me see something. Let me drop your volume ever so slightly because you're coming in so incredibly
It's called strong. Hot.
Yeah, you're coming in hot. Now, tonight, I'm going to hold off on this. We're going to talk about a few things tonight. We're going to talk about the Plunge Protection Team. We're going to talk about social media and how it's disrupting and just really, I think, killing the entire productivity of the world. We'll get to that. But let's talk about this crazy amount of lunacy that's going on around the world. It's this incredible... I don't even know how to describe these crazy maniacs that are bombing concert sites when they know there's going to be young people gathering. So there's this concert last night over in the UK, and it's one of these performers that there's a variety of these performers like a Justin Bieber and a variety of these performers that attract very young a lot of girls, but very young people, right? You know, in the teenagers.
Yeah. That's their audience.
Right. And this lunatic or lunatics decides to blow himself up outside of the concert hall and critically injuring, 22 people injuring in dozens more. I mean, what is wrong with these people?
Killed 22 and injured 57. That's the last numbers I heard.
Why would people, who in their right mind? Well, first of all, you can't be in your right mind if you're going to blow yourself up anyway. But putting that aside for a second, what respectable terrorist, okay, is going to be putting a bomb outside of a concert that has young people? I don't understand it.
Well, that's, I have no idea. I'm not a terrorist. I don't know the terrorist mentality. They just obviously thought it was a good idea. Made a point. Got a lot of attention. Terrorism is partly to scare people.
But they're not called terrorists anymore, right?
I don't know.
They're losers.
It didn't affect the market. That's kind of interesting.
Well, we've talked about this 100 times. It's almost like a reason to buy when there's a terrorist event or a stupid loser event. What is Trump calling them now? They're calling them big losers?
I don't know.
Did you see this? You didn't see what
he
said?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I've actually kind of backed off on paying attention to Trump's tweets.
Yeah, he says it wasn't his tweet. He was in a press conference somewhere. I don't know where he was. Maybe in Israel. Or maybe it was Rome. He said, I'm not going to call them monsters. They would like that too much. They're losers. That's what they are. They're losers.
Losers. Yeah, that would be Trump.
Losers. Because that's really going to scare them. And of course, the Eiffel Tower is dim this evening, or maybe it's in a different color or something, because that's really going to scare the terrorists off.
Well, that's more of a tribute.
Mm-hmm. So here we are with the markets almost at an all-time high. And we have, again, now the UK is raising their threat level to critical, which is the highest it gets to, saying that further attacks could be imminent. And we have...
This is another thing that kind of gets me. Every time there's an attack, there's not another attack immediately thereafter. I haven't seen it. So why would there always be one imminent? They just did one. They let it soak in. And I mean, when the Al-Qaeda, when they were around, they liked to do two or three attacks simultaneously. But there was never an attack, then another one. And show me an example of when that happened. So why are they
Wasn't there in Paris a couple of things in a period of one night, though? It wasn't more than that.
No, I would call that a simultaneous.
Right. Okay, simultaneous. I'll give you that. Yeah. So it wasn't a repetitive kind of a day in, maybe 2 days later.
Right.
Well, maybe that's because they always raise the alert, and that scares everybody off.
They do raise the alert, but it's like too late.
Well, it's always too late.
I don't know. This is always seems like an exercise to me. Yeah, they just
Justin Bieber's
do these things and scare the public after it happens, and don't do anything to prevent it. I mean, we're in a supposed security state where everybody's being listened to by these agencies. GCHQ in England and NSA here, yet they can't stop any of these.
Nope. And they're not going to be able to stop them because now they've become much more, you know, between running people over with cars, using small caliber or easily hidden guns of some sort, and strapping yourself full of some kind of bomb. I mean, these are small-time operators that are doing a lot of damage to a reasonably sized group, but it's in a way that it's so hidden, it's almost impossible to catch these guys.
Well, then what's the point of the security state?
Yeah, it's not working. Unless they really get down, and then everybody's going to be all pissed off that they're invading our privacy and they're constraining us. And
they're already invading our privacy, and they're not getting anywhere.
Not getting anywhere. Very sad state of affairs. Now, Brazil is embroiled in a scandal. If you're watching, the president there is involved. You remember something? The last president was evicted from office due to all sorts of bribery and graft issues.
Supposedly, yes.
Supposedly. Still going on.
And now this is being called a coup within a coup. So it's a coup of the coup.
So it's a double coup.
It's outrageous.
It's a double coup. You think this is really happening?
Yeah, I do think it's happening.
You think that the entire government structure has been compromised?
It sure looks that way.
Yeah. Now there's going to be... let me tell you what happened. So this news comes out and this news breaks. I'm watching something in the morning and I come in the office and I'm looking at some price quotes. I'm like, is that right? I don't know. Maybe there's a split or something happened, you know, because I'm watching the price of EWZ, which is the ETF that tracks the Brazilian market. And it's down like 17%. I'm thinking maybe there was some kind of a split or a dividend paid out or something. Something doesn't seem right. And I look at this and I'm trying to understand. Okay, let me look at the news. What's going on? Oh, there's this, you know, the presidential scandal with this bribery probe and there's a real concern about this. The stocks in Brazil are just getting hammered. Petrobras is down 15%. A variety of other ones, just down. I'm looking at this. I'm like, wow, that was pretty ugly. I look at the other top and bottom performers of the day. The three-time Brazilian ETF, the leveraged ETF that tracks the Brazilian stock market, was down 51%.
Wow, that would have been a good short.
Yep. And somebody actually sent me on Twitter I think it was the EWZ put options. I think it was EWZ. They were up like 18,000% or something ridiculous. It was some ridiculous number they were showing me. I forgot if it was that or the BRZU. BRZU is the three times Brazilian. Now, I bought that and I traded that and made a chunk of money that day because, you know, when it was down 51%, it finished a day, you know, I think down 45% or something like that. And then the next day it came back a little bit more. So we're up, I think, for client portfolios, we're up like 18%.
Reasonable.
On that position. Because, you know, in this market environment, as you can see how things played out when we saw there was a scandal here, or you see how things played out when Trump was elected, it was locked down and came right back up, or you see what happens in Japan or China or anywhere around the world, there is so much money flowing into things. Everybody's looking for a bargain to get into this, at least on a few day bounce.
Right.
So investors are, you know, concerned they're going to be, you know, looking at this. Oh, I'm going to miss this massive buying opportunity. 17% on a stock market, which comprised about 7 or 8% of the currency moving lower because it combines the currency exposure and the market exposure. I think it was too much for people to ignore and they kind of started moving it back up. The president, his name is President Temer. He said he would not resign. He's not resigning. Some of his cabinet resigned, but he's not resigning. So
yeah.
I wonder if this is something to be looked at. I'll give you a hint. I may put something related to this in the weekly stock picks.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it comes full
not
circle.
Me.
let's talk about something. You know, you sent me an email this evening, and yep. It was kind of interesting because as you had sent within minutes of you sending this to me, I had been reviewing this and researching this, and I thought it was really interesting how we both hit this at the same time. Which I wonder what's going on with this. So tonight on CNBC, this investor, his name is Asher Edelman. He's kind of one of these long-time, old-time dudes that...
He is the guy that they modeled Gordon Gekko in Wall Street, the movie Wall Street. He's the guy. He's the model for that guy.
Is that right? Really? I didn't know that. Well, I could see that. He did come across as a little brash and a little bit full of himself to a degree. And I guess he doesn't trade anymore, but he's been around for 40 or 50 years.
Right.
And he says that the market is being propped up by the president's plunge protection team.
Yeah.
Now, supposedly this was created under Ronald Reagan, and it's run by top officials.
It was created after this 87 crash, which is the way I saw the 87 crash. I know that there was a lot of people, and I've talked to brokers and people that were involved with the 87 crash, that said that they thought this was the end of the world. They were standing, they saw a lot of each other in bank lines getting all the cash they can out of the bank. There was a mini run on the bank by these people. But this was a... The way I saw it, this was an exact duplicate of what happened in 1907, an 80-year cycle of these flash crashes that are really bad, and the recovery is really quick. So if you knew about the old one, and I didn't know about it, I only reverse engineered it. You knew about the new one, you would have invested heavily right after this thing crashed, and you would have done very well for yourself. But this was only
created in 87, you said.
I'm sorry?
You said it was only created in 1987, this plunge protection team.
Yeah, no, the plunge that's when it was created. But it was the way I saw that 87 crash was part now as a way. I didn't see it then. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be in Paris. When I reverse engineered it, it appears to be part of an 80-year cycle, which will happen again in another 80 years. So anyone who wants to make a note, add 80 years to 87, and you can make some investment decisions.
Yeah, pass it on in your will.
I saw it as that in hindsight, but apparently everybody freaked out so much they created this plunge protection team to keep this from happening again because it just was too freaky.
Yeah, no, it's called like the President's Market Group or something like that. Now,
it's got some phony name.
Yeah, he's saying that this guy said it's being run by top officials in government. Now, we've heard about that. By the way, this is the plunge protection team was that was all over the place back in 2007, 2008, when markets were moving by 2% a day, and they'd magically out of nowhere just start moving up higher midday for no reason.
Right.
And there was the thought that banks like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and government like the head of the Treasury, the head of the Fed, and a variety of other heads of departments are all scheming to make sure that there is no massive disruption in markets that would be so terrible that would freak people out. So the question is, do we really think this exists, though?
Well, I watched that guy, Asher, mm-hmm. Asher Edelman, discuss his complaint. It was mostly a complaint. And then I read this article that was done in 2015 with another woman who apparently – and then this was in Zero Hedge. This woman apparently was involved with the plunge protection team herself. And she goes on about it, just changed the way the markets operate. It's like kind of rigged. And on and on. And I don't know, but the way I see it is that in 87, when this thing was created to prevent another 87, the guy who took advantage of it, if anybody, would have been Bill Clinton. Hmm. And Bill Clinton had more or less a bull market. He was sitting on a bull market his whole presidency. And as soon as he left, things started to get shaky. And
so you're thinking he had the button push the whole time.
I think it does exist. And the only guy on Fast Money that was talking about that pretended or was pretty certain it exists because it's the big secret, I guess, is that one guy on the end who also didn't believe there was a moon landing. So
Scott Nations. Yeah. But, it's interesting. This one woman who came out and talked about it, that she was sat on this group. I find it very interesting. First of all, don't you have to take like a vow of silence or something? Is it like in a sorority, a secret handshake that you could never tell anybody in the whole world?
That's what I would think.
You would think so. And she comes out and obviously talks about it openly. I find it, I'm a little skeptical about it because, you know, if there was the ability for people to, or the chance for people to be talking about this, you would think you would hear a little bit more about this. Now, I don't necessarily, I mean, does this mean that the government owns lots of S&P and Dow futures or something, or?
Well, it's hinted that it's the banks who are doing all the manipulating. They're just giving the go ahead. And I guess all these guarantees for banks, you know, they're too big to fail and all the rest of it stems from this. Mm. Yeah, we'll be glad to invest all, you know, $1 billion into this to keep to prop up the stock prices. But if anything happens to us, you have to guarantee our existence. That's a possibility.
Now, isn't this exactly what happens with IPOs? So the syndicates from IPOs are usually there after the IPO to keep the stock price propped up in the event of any problems. They have a certain allocation to it in order to keep the thing float. So this is kind of like the same thing, whereas the banks are given the go-ahead with free money, in a sense, or possibly implicit guarantees that, don't worry, if everything fails, we'll take that little piece away from you.
Right.
So it's the same. So really, it's not such a far stretch that banks are involved in this because they do it for other parties as well.
Right. And it explains one thing that we've been discussing on this show for 5 years, which is your befuddlement at certain market moves that you always believe were fixed or rigged, or why is it doing that? It makes zero sense. Yep. Et cetera.
Yep. And again, the latest one was after the Trump election. The thought that that he's elected, everybody thinks the market's going to come down. Investors are scared. And then with not even a day passes and the market is off to the races.
Yeah. Right. It collapsed overnight. We saw that.
If you happen to go to sleep early.
Out. It went down 600 points or something like that. Right after the election was closed, boom, market cried. The futures take the market down tremendously. And the next day, it's recovered completely.
Yeah, if you slept through it, you wouldn't know anything happened.
Right. If you right, exactly. You wouldn't know anything.
Yeah.
Right. You were watching the market go
I was having fun. I was trading it at like 2 in the morning.
I saw some of it. I went to bed.
Yeah, it was ugly. On dhunplugged.com, there's a link to the video so you can watch all of the fun that goes on with this explanation from Asher Edelman. If you can make it through the probable advertisements that are in the beginning of this thing, but you can find that over on DH Unplugged under the show notes for episode number 362. All right, we talked about that. Oh, the dollar index. Now, here's the interesting thing. I mean, we've been tracking this dollar index, you and I, for a while here, and the dollar index shot up and got stronger after Trump was elected, and the whole idea was a lot of money was coming into the U.S., and there was a tremendous amount of belief that the various tax and regulatory plans that were being laid out were going to do a great job at bringing the GDP up potentially and stock prices up because companies will have a much better bottom line, all this good stuff.
And don't forget repatriation.
Oh yeah. Yep, that's right. And that would have to bring money into the U.S. as well.
A ton, yeah.
And the dollar shot up. And now as we each little bitty misstep or scandal keeps on knocking down the dollar ever so slightly. And here we are, we're at a point where we're right back to where the dollar was right before the election.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of that gain evaporated. And it's interesting because I've seen a lot of people talking about how this is a good proxy. The dollar, U.S. dollar index, is a good proxy for the administration's ability to get some things done and for the overall the viewing of how the presidency is going. Kind of tracks. It's like a approval rating.
A little bit.
So it tracks that. So the dollar index is sold off. Meanwhile, with the sell-off, it's been good for gold again. And oil is once again rising due to the latest promises by OPEC. Has investors, oh, yes, they're extending their production cuts because look how great that did when oil recently crashed down to 45 on inventory. So once again, we're seeing that investors are just buying this hook, line, and sinker.
Well, it's up to 51.51. And way I'm looking at it. And yeah, they are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah,
because so far. But what happens if inventories are still out of control?
Inventories are probably going to be.
When do inventories get announced?
Tuesday evening. There is one set of numbers that is, I would say, half as powerful and as important as the Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. Unless there's a holiday in there. But generally speaking, Wednesdays at 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m., the inventories numbers come out where you get the oil inventories, you get the gasoline inventories, and you get distillates. Mm. You also get production numbers in terms of refinement. So when you look at those all together, there's been there's been some draws here and there. And now President Trump and the White House is talking about selling off half the strategic oil reserves.
Why?
Because if you do that, you have more money to put in the budget that they're, you know, cutting.
Crash the market. Why don't they sell it off when it's $100 a barrel?
Because that's not, you know, now they need it. They're looking for every square. It's like kind of like when you get your paycheck and you spent it all and now it's Friday and you got to wait till Monday for the next paycheck to come in and you scrounge around underneath your couch looking for coins.
Or go to payday loans.
Yeah, this is what's happening. They're looking for every bit of money available to shore up this budget, which is basically going to cut tremendous amount from Medicaid and a variety of other services in order to fund lower taxes for the rich.
Yeah, well, lower taxes for everybody. Okay. But the rich benefit.
Yeah. So we're back to trickle down. That worked out. I got to mention, I just have to, for two reasons. I have to mention Bitcoin. Over 2,200.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's up $135 year to date. 135% year to date.
Yeah.
And the Japanese are making it easy to use as a currency now. It's even an airline. I think it's called Grapefruit or Pink or some funny name. Peach. Maybe it's Peach. There's an airline that, Japanese. I think it's a Japanese airline that's taking Bitcoin. Now, I thought it'd be fun.
Good luck.
What would be more fun than talking about Bitcoin? But I'll tell you in a minute, we're going to use that in the next closest to the pin.
Yeah, I saw your memo.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Pretty funny. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, now the word on the street, by the way, don't tell anybody, but we're not going to blame the Russians. We're going to blame North Korea for the recent ransomware attacks.
Yes, this is, by the way, my call. You always ask my column for PC Magazine.
Yeah.
This is my column for PC Magazine.
That you agree that it's North Korea?
Of course it's not North Korea.
Okay, well, I'm just making sure we're on the same page here. Who is it?
I think it's a criminal operation running probably out of Ukraine, perhaps Russia or Bulgaria or any of those countries back there that can do this kind of thing.
So why
those are the guys who are good at it? What do the North Koreans have to do with anything? They don't have an internet that even goes into the country. You know, generally they have no hacker culture. And the group's name that they've attributed this to is called the Lazarus Group, which is a Christian thing. You know, refers to Lazarus, and it really has an Orthodox Christian kind of angle to it, which again indicates to me, I think it's out of Ukraine. I mean, those are the guys who do this sort of thing. The North Korea thing is an invention, you have to read the column, but I do have a conclusion, which is the whole thing is just so you, because we can't seem to do anything about any of this stuff. So blame the North Koreans, and then you're home. I can't do anything. It's North Korea's fault.
Mm. Yeah, this report is according to Symantec, which you would hope to be this stuff is great, by the way. Maybe Symantec's just trying to throw everybody off the course in order to make sure that this, you know, you don't shut down the real perpetrator of this in order to sell more of this software.
Maybe.
Right. That's a good idea.
As long as there's Symantec, all they care about is to get the name spelled right.
Which is not easy. Not easy. What to make all this? Okay, fine. Okay, now. Just recently, Senator McGuire put up legislation that restricts pharmaceutical companies. This story is amazing because you have to wonder after you look at this why it's taken so long and how this went on to begin with. So the legislation restricts pharmaceutical companies from giving gifts and incentives to medical professionals, and it basically strikes all that away. It's got legislation SB 790. Severely restricts pharmaceutical companies from providing flights, travel, speaking fees, entertainment, consulting payments, or other financial benefits to healthcare providers. Now, I will tell you, I have a variety of doctor friends who are always telling me that, like, ho-ho, you know, we're being flown to, you know, Vegas or Scottsdale or somewhere that I'm speaking. You know, I'm going to give a speech at one of their events here, and I have to speak for a half hour, and they're paying me $5,000 or some other crazy number. They pay for everything. They pay for the room. They pay for the flights. They pay for the transportation. You know, the whole thing is that. And on top of it, they're giving me a big chunk just to talk about the, you know, potential for the use of this drug.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that the reasons are also not only were the doctors getting all sorts of gifts and financial benefits, but in a way it was bribery, right? Because it's like, okay, use this particular pharmaceutical with your patients. You'll amass enough, you know, checks in our book in terms of the prescriptions that you give. And then we'll fly you over here to either this seminar or we'll fly you here to speak. It was a bribe.
It's kind of bribery. I mean, it's not government at all, and you know, there's somebody's, it's incentives. It's like spiffs that they have. You go to a stereo store in the olden days, and this guy, you want to go buy a pair of good speakers, and this guy directs you to some other speakers because he gets a piece of the action. It's corrupt. Yes. It's corrupt is what it is.
It is corrupt. Really, but there's a fine line between incentives and bribery.
Well, by our standards, is bribery, but it's still corrupt practice. Let's put it that way. Yes. That's one thing we can agree on.
I would agree with that. So again, it's amazing how long this went on.
Oh, this isn't going to end. You think this thing's going to pass?
I think it did pass.
The Senate, maybe, but it still has to go to the House if that's the case. It was a Senate bill.
That's a good point. So you think that they'll be stricken down there?
Might be. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to go look it up.
Yeah, that's a good point. SB
790. That's a good idea to prevent this. But again, it's like, you know, it's not the problem.
What's the problem?
Why don't they stop the TV commercials for these crazy drugs?
Not only the TV commercials, but
there's no other country in the world that has these TV commercials. They don't allow it. It's illegal. But we have them.
I don't understand how those things work and why they do them. I think I've asked you this before. So I'm watching something and my stomach hurts and I happen to see something about an anti-gas something or other that's a prescription based, and I call my doctor. I say, hey, can you prescribe this to me? Or do I go to my doctor's office and say, hey, by the way, you're giving me this medication. I saw on TV that this one's better. I want that instead.
Yeah, it works.
You think the doctors give a crap about that?
I heard the guy who invented the whole process. He was on some talk show. Radio, and he discussed this in great detail, and he says that the pharmaceutical companies were stunned by how well these TV commercials worked, so they could jack up the prices to pay for the commercials, and they still sell more than they ever did before. And now it's just, if you watch the NBC Nightly News, CBS or ABC, those things are all supported by drug companies selling all kinds of crazy stuff.
I still have an affinity for the erectile dysfunction commercials.
God.
Because come on, you got to watch these things and notice all the trees that are standing up straight or the other. Seriously, you've seen these?
Yeah.
Every part of the commercial is some kind of subliminal message about a giant hard-on.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that. And then they had to go through a lot of different women because some of them were actually they were unappealing. And they needed to find the right models to coax you into buying these pills.
Yeah, well,
big money.
I like when they get all excited. There's a big fire behind
billions
them.
Of dollars in money in sales for those for Viagra and those other things. Cialis.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about social media for a second because I'm pretty much done. I'm done.
Oh,
on,
good.
I'm done on this whole. Facebook recently, I put it on my phone. I only look at it on my iPhone, and the icon, my kids mentioned this the other day. They said, Dad, why is your icon for Facebook? Because they were looking up something so far buried like pages in, you know, when you could swipe it over. Everybody seems to have Facebook on their front page there. You just click it. I'm like, because I hardly look at it and I don't want to see it there and I don't want to look at it. So I looked at it every once in a while. I looked. It is so flooded now with junk and sponsorships and just crap. It's almost like the social media is social advertising. That's what it's become. It's all about the money. It used to be a place to, I mean, yes, I find it one benefit to connect with people for some reason that I, you know, want to talk to or maybe even want to find more out about, or maybe it's the old high school folk or something like that. But the whole social media has just gone to crap. That the potential for abuse, fake news, advertising overload, and not to mention a big time waster, tremendous time waster.
It's horrible.
I really do think that this is a major problem with the productivity of people and why anybody at work, particularly in work where there is a salaried or an hourly worker. I stepped into a diner tonight. Three waiters and waitresses were huddled in the corner on their phones. In the old days, they wouldn't be doing that. They wouldn't be on the phone. You weren't allowed to be on the phone, pick up a phone and make a call during work. No. Right?
Right.
So this has to be a productivity killer, and why employers put up with this crap, I have no idea.
I don't either, to be honest about it. But I've never been one to I'm not a fan of this, the whole thing. I mean, I do use Twitter. I do.
But that's like a sophisticated RSS. That's a sophisticated But it's a sophisticated news feed for the most part if you structure it properly, Twitter. You know, yeah. I don't remember the last time I saw somebody's dog. I don't remember seeing somebody's baby, which is fine. I'm sure your baby and your dog is fantastic. But I don't remember anybody's. It's much more of that's because who I connect with. And I find out my news. I get my news feeds from the various places. I can link to the article. Again, I look at it as a very well designed RSS feed. That's how I see it. Now, here's some things that I recently found out. It seems that Instagram is the worst social media site in terms of the impact on the mental health of young people. So there was a recent study done by this company called Status, or something called the Status of Mind Survey. Well, I don't know how accurate this is, but I'm just going to talk to you about this anyway because I think there is a lot to be said about their findings. The site with the most positive ratings was YouTube, which, okay, followed by Twitter. Interesting. Facebook and Snapchat came in third and fourth. Now, this Royal Society for Public Health report said that the platforms are supposed to help young people connect with each other, but they may actually be fueling a mental health crisis.
I'm all in on this.
Yeah.
I believe this to be true.
Social media, this is Shirley Kramer, chief executive of the Royal Society for Public Health, said, social media has been described as more addictive than cigarettes and alcohol and is now so entrenched in the lives of young people that it's no longer possible to ignore it when talking about young people's mental health issues. They said, interesting to see that Instagram and Snapchat ranking as the worst for mental health and well-being. Both platforms are very image-focused, and it appears they may be driving feelings of inadequacy and anxiety in young people. I mean, think about that. You got to show off your face in Snapchat. You can take pictures of your printer or your computer if you like, but for the most part, people are taking pictures of themselves. And on Instagram, my son comes home and goes, hey, check out these girls I met. I'm like, oh my. You know, he's showing me their Instagram feeds. I mean, let me just say that they were not fully garbed.
Yeah, there you go. Now you have it.
You know?
There's the appeal.
I understand the appeal. I get it. But again, could you imagine when you were young and you had the ability just to be thumbing through all of these pictures of these, you know, girls in their bikinis and their, you know, in their sexy outfits and all this other stuff constantly, and then trying to connect with them? I mean, honestly, I understand the addiction.
How many girls in bikinis? Yeah, there's one of them, and there's another, and after a while, doesn't it get old?
No. I can say that with confidence. That's my opinion.
There you go. Okay.
Now, the report also said, as the evidence grows that there may be potential harms from heavy use of social media, they put that into a drug use commentary, right? Mm. Heavy
use.
Yeah,
of course. It's because everyone seems to understand that model, right. Yeah.
A heavy use of social media. As we upgrade the status of mental health within our society, it's important that we have checks and balances in place to make social media less of a wild west when it comes to young people's mental health and well-being. Basically, what I'm saying here is that social media has gone wild. It's gotten to a point that even, I think it's not just young people. Although young people take it more seriously than people that didn't, you know, that it entered their life at a later age. Young people who grew up on it, it's like their entire daily, I mean,
oh yeah, you see younger girls, you know, screeching and going, oh, I need this many likes, and they get all worked up.
Right.
They have all kinds of issues.
Yep.
Whereas someone like myself, I don't even have a Facebook account. And yeah. I don't care to.
Right. I can't tell you how many times my kid's like, oh, look, I got, you know, 72 likes on this. I'm like, and?
What? Yeah. Yeah. So what?
And what does that mean? And nobody, it's like restaurants. Nobody's going to really say anything necessarily bad per se. Just not say it. It's not worth it. I mean, there is really no bad button on there, right?
There should be.
That would
be funnier.
There's an angry button, but there's no like, I hate this, you know, finger up.
I think it should be thumbs down, bad, sucks.
Yeah.
That would change the dynamics of all that.
It would, exactly.
I'd probably get an account if that was going to happen.
That would be great, right? Just be thumbs down on everything. Nope. Don't like it. Don't like it. Don't like it. Don't like it.
You blow.
All right. Now, as you know, here's a quick snap quiz. What is the usual and customary excuse for when a company, especially a retailer, doesn't make their earnings? What's the reason?
One classic that we discuss on the show is the weather.
The weather. You got leap year, you got the election, you got Brexit, you got whatever, right?
It's always something.
Yeah, always something. There's a new one.
Okay.
Tax returns being late.
Sorry, what?
Tax returns. So it seems there was some kind of snafu with some tax returns and the government did not issue tax return checks. They got to come up with another word for this, by the way. Because you file your tax return, that's one way to say it, right? I filed my tax return. But you really should say I filed my taxes. And I got my tax return, which is a return on overpayment of your taxes. But somehow they both have the same name. So it gets confusing. So what I'm talking about is the money that people got back will be getting back as an overpayment of their taxes after they file their taxes.
And so the retailers are blaming their loss of sales on that?
Yes. A lot of them are blaming it on that.
Wow, that's the worst. The weather's a better one.
Yeah, the weather. Somehow there was a snafu in the processing of millions of tax return payments. And it seems to have been a problem because they rely on this time of year for people to go out and spend that. Mm. So we're seeing that many of the companies, I mean, we did see, like I said, you know, Macy's and Dillard's, they're all talking about it. You know, it's not on their crappy marketing and crappy, you know, business models. It's not any of that. It's the latest earnings shortfall was tax returns being late.
Well,
and they believe this.
Well, I'm glad they believe something. Mm. This is like, this is like a lot of stuff where you don't want to face reality and you blame it on something else.
Mm-hmm. It's Johnny's fault. I didn't do it. Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Yeah. And you know, it's probably a good thing because you can't keep on saying the weather all the time and you can't, you know, Peter and the wolf here. So now as used car, we know that used car sales have been plunging and prices are plunging because of something we talked about 2 years ago, our concern about the extended loans and lease terms and how this was going to be an automatic problem for and they were basically eating into their future. We talked about this at length. And we were damn right, by the way. We were right and damn right at the same time.
Yeah, we were.
AutoZone, Maybe AutoZone also was because of tax returns, but their stock dropped 12%, its biggest drop in like 8 years after earnings.
Well, it's been creeping down very slowly. The chart shows it's got a downward, it's like a channel down. And then it just took a big dive.
Yep, down about 26% year to date.
Yeah, it's bad.
I just don't know if it's related or not to the used car or new car sales.
Well, I think it's related to, this would be my guess, just out of the blue. Because we talked about these companies before, and we saw a consolidation. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it was going to be a merger and acquisition era for these car operations, O'Reilly and all the rest of them. And maybe that ended in realization. Maybe there's a deal that was keeping the stock kind of propped up that fell apart, never happened, and boom, down she goes, down, you know, like a brick wall.
Was this
maybe?
Was this stock as high? What was it, as high as 700 and change?
Yeah, it's trades in the high numbers.
I mean, this was like a $200 stock.
Almost $750.
You can follow John C. Dvorak, by the way, on Twitter, not on Facebook, obviously, but on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word on Twitter. I need a few more to get to the next breakpoint on Twitter. Not sure what that means, but just a few out. And of course, you could donate to the show. I checked our Coinbase account today because, as you know, with this going up so much, 135% for the year, we are. Still well short of anything that's respectable.
No, it's not respectable, of course.
Our account. That's a good point from the chat room. You also, are you on Mastodon?
I have, Adam set up a Mastodon social network, and I go on that once in a while.
And how do you follow you there? Is there some kind of a hash or some crazy
way? Just John C. Dvorak, I think.
Oh, okay. But you can donate to the show, by the way. Go to the site. If you find anything we talked about interesting tonight, if there's any of the ideas that we talk about that you made some money on, if for whatever reason you're just using it as a sleep aid and was saving you money on earplugs and meds, well, go over to the donation button on DH Unplugged right now and donate a few bucks. It won't hurt. You know, you got your tax return, damn it.
Or you could also just say, when you wake up, feel the urge to go to the site and donate.
Oh, yeah. We should say that. I should put that in the background somehow.
Yeah. You get a little subtle thing. Maybe at the end.
A little dreamy music.
Yeah.
We are officially announcing the latest closest to the pin competition. We have two interesting ones. Right now, currently going on, we'll close this week, is the VIX. And we'll see how that plays out. But we're announcing... I was able to finagle the system, by the way, to get Bitcoin pricing to come up and charts.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So you can go over to DH Unplugged. You'll see on the top right on the sidebar. You can join in on guessing the price of Bitcoin on the date that's in there. And you have the opportunity to win a one-of-a-kind collector's edition DH Unplugged t-shirt, as well as a wonderful certificate that is ideal for framing.
Yes, very ideal.
Let's see here. Can you, California. There's a new state marijuana law. It sees that they're overturning a lot of convictions because of legalization. It's not interesting, the story.
Well, it's not affecting the markets.
No. I do have it.
Although it might affect some of these stocks that we should do a whole show on drugs, not drug stocks, but pot stocks.
Oh, we got to get Curry in on that one. It was having the background smoking different, you know, variations.
Well, we don't. That won't help.
No.
But we should definitely think about it.
I will mention, do you know about the big shaving bag fiasco?
The shave bag. Tell me about it.
So I started working out again. I go to the gym and I have the shave bag with all my little goodies in there for after I shower.
Shave bag,
yeah.
So you take it. So you go to the gym and then shave there. You don't shave at home.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. There's a quick, you know what? There's a, wherever we're using the Google Bitcoin index. which is BTC USD. So I'm not sure which one it is, but whatever one it is, you'll see what the price is now and you'll figure it out. That was from the chat room about which Bitcoin. I'm telling you, there's going to be a big issue about this on Bitcoin.
Yeah, back to your shaving.
Back to my shaving. So I take my shave bag there and I shave and I put it away and then I put it in my bag and then I go to the office or, you know, I go to the house, whatever it is. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, shave bag is gone.
Somebody stole your shave bag.
I can't find my shave bag. Where could it go? I look in my car. I look at my house. I look everywhere for this thing. I can't find it. Did I leave it there? I go back and I check the lost and found. Nothing. 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 Now, what I did was, because I just did the Dollar Shave Club, I wrote on Twitter, oh, my God, I can't believe my new Dollar Shave Club shaving shaver and razors were stolen. At Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club says, oh, my God, that's terrible. We'll send you a whole new box. Not only
that's nice of them.
Feel really bad about this. We're going to send you all sorts of other goodies. They sent me their shave butter. They sent me their wipes. They sent me their loofah brush. They sent me their other things, all the stuff. Okay? I write them back. I said, thank you so much. By the way, I really appreciate that. They say, by the way, you know what? Because I take a picture of what they sent me. Do you mind if we use that in social media advertising and advertising? I said, no. Go ahead, have a good time. I said, by the way, I am a large to an extra large t-shirt, and I really enjoy this particular product, which they then sent me for free as well. Okay.
Instead of giving you a modeling fee, which could be, I don't know, thousands of dollars, you sold out.
I did.
For this.
I did. Yep. So now it gets worse. Yeah. I build my new shave bag. I put all the stuff in it, my new razors, my new toothbrush, my new stuff, all the stuff. I have like a... I go to the gym. I work out for a few weeks. I come home one day. I look. No shave.
Stolen.
The shave bag is gone. Now I'm having a little bit of a mental breakdown here. Okay. Seriously. I'm like, what is going on? Right. Is somebody targeting me? What's happening here? I don't understand. I can't believe. Now, a friend of mine says that I'm blacking out and I'm just leaving it in places. I'm like, I'm not. And now I'm starting to worry about myself.
Blacking out.
I don't know. Something's going on here. Something's not right.
Doesn't sound right. How many other people at the gym have had their shave bags stolen?
I asked about that. They said, no, we've never heard of such a thing. I said, I can't even imagine. It's not even possible to just go in my bag. I don't think I left it there. I'm pretty good about that kind of stuff. So here's what I did. I bought another shave bag. I filled it back up with all the stuff. This time, I bought the tile. You know what the tile is?
Is that something, that little device that you can track it?
Yes. I'm going to catch this bastard.
Okay.
So I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of little devices you can put on there.
This is good and bad.
You can track it. Yeah,
this is a Bluetooth thing. And if you're out of range and you try to find it, it has to swipe by somebody else that has the app on. And we'll see. We'll see if this thing works. But put the tracker in there.
Good.
I'm sure it's going to be in somebody, like a friend or somebody, or a kid of mine stole it or something.
Because he's one of the fans of the show.
Yeah.
He's doing this as a goof. He's just heard what you planned.
Mm-hmm.
He's digging through the bag right now. He's pulling the tracker out. He's putting it on a stray dog and then kicking the dog and letting him run off.
Probably. But it was a very big moment. I really was getting a little worried there. Anyway, on to more important news. Sadly, Roger Moore passed. My favorite James Bond, by the way. Who's your favorite James Bond?
I think Pierce Brosnan over time.
On.
I mean, the best was, I still think Connery had the best writing.
Connery
was
wet. Good.
Yeah, yes, but my martini is still dry.
Yeah.
Kind of lines. So he was probably the best. But in the modern era, I'd say Brosnan was pretty good.
What about the the current guy? What's his name? The guy with no personality.
Yeah, the guy with no personality. Well, I think you answered that question without even asking it.
Yeah. The guy that is not sexy and has no personality. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, by the way, he's the one who promoted the idea of maybe if he could be gay.
Oh, God.
Like, he says, what's wrong with having a gay James Bond? Okay, fine.
I was wondering, is this supposed to be funny? An experimental new restaurant, retail kind of pop-up concept is pouring what they call the Pill Cosby. It's a cocktail complete with a garnish of empty capsules, Daniel Craig is the guy. So I put a picture of this on there. You can see this. It's the Pill Cosby. I think they're being sued or something to remove this from the menu. Let's go here.
Good publicity.
A couple of other things here before we get to the weekly stock picks. Adam, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. After parting ways with the most watched personalities in cable news and the whole thing with Fox, guess what? Fox is now down on the list. MSNBC is number one. The failing MSNBC.
It's wild.
Yeah. And I guess I don't know why. And then finally, the news is getting weirder by the minute. A report that a sinkhole, we need to just look at this for a second. A sinkhole opened up by Mar-a-Lago, Trump's South White House.
Yeah.
Now, when I read this.
But there's always a lot of sinkholes in Florida, aren't there?
There could be, yes. But the way this was presented, when I first read this, the title of this particular article was like, oh, a sinkhole opened up in front of Mar-a-Lago. And I'm just thinking, I don't know if they've conditioned me at this point or what it is, but it just seemed to me that I was going to read the next line was going to be, and hell is opening up in order to bring him back. You know, that's kind of where I was thinking this. And it's only a 4x4 hole. That is not a gigantic sinkhole by any means.
No, hardly.
It was just a water main break or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you could find out more about what we're talking about, all the show notes over on dhunplug.com. Make sure to tell your friends about the show because I'm sure they'll be excited to hear all the fabulous things we're talking about, the bikinis, the Bill Cosby, items related to stocks, bonds, portfolios, of course, social media and how social media has gone over the edge, gone wild. Let's talk about some stocks here. There's not a game nothing more than a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's just something we talk about each and every week, some ideas we come up with. Please do not trade on any of the things that we talk about unless you've done your own research and you come up with some kind of game plan for yourself, because if you lose money, we don't take responsibility for that. We won't do it. And if John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of the securities, we will duly mention that. You could track all of the things that we are talking about in terms of the stocks right on DH Unplugged. A quick and free registration is required. And this way, you'll be able to see what's in, what's out, the gains, the losses, and kind of ticks off in real time there. So there you go. Okay.
Well, I'm running into a bad streak.
Yeah, your stuff is kind of red.
I got a lot of red. We got one. I see we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stocks in the red. Three of them been kicked off. And of those stocks, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Is the Revlon pick yours?
Nope, that's yours.
I have either 4 or 5.
I count.
I thought I picked Revlon.
You did pick Revlon. That's yours. I just said.
Well, it doesn't say it on here.
Oh, sorry. It's gray, though.
It is. I can't see on here. These colors aren't very unique.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's mine. So I picked 5 of the downs are mine.
Yeah.
And a lot of them involve shorts that didn't work out, at least 2 of them. No, most of them are longs. Never mind. One short that didn't work out.
I wonder what AMD is today. That's a good question because it went up dramatically. I'm going to check this. AMD, enter. Let's see if it comes up. AMD, that didn't work.
No, you get kicked out. AMD.
I know, but I'm kind of curious where it is now because it went up and then came right back. It's at 1089 right now.
Yeah.
And you picked it up.
Normal.
You picked it up at 1029. Still would have been off a little bit, but not as bad. AMC Entertainment was kicked off. Still holding Barclays with a 53% gain. I think that's the number one. A joint pick there. McGuire and Walgreens just hanging in there. Gilead is also a short. You're up on that short on Gilead? That's yours?
That's the only short that was just a chart pick.
Yep. Your Campbell's Soup, good, is up 2.5%.
Which is pretty weird if you think about it.
Yep. Your Wells Fargo is up a little bit on the buy. NuStar Energy down a little bit. My Trade Desk is up 41.5%. Twilio finally started
coming
back.
That's the winner. That's the recent winner, that Trade Desk. Yep. That's a good one.
When did we pick that? That was on 4/12, about a month ago.
Yeah.
Twilio. Cara Therapeutics up 18%. Nugget up 11%. Your CSX, the train company, up 0.5%. Straight Path Communications is still holding on at 23%. Snap, the short, is up 2.5%, which is a joint pick of ours. And Revlon is slightly down. I am going to pick. Now, I got to ask you if we could do this. I want to pick the three-time, I should probably pick a bigger number here, but the three-time Brazilian stock market to buy. And the question I have is, I want to do a 15% gain or loss. In other words, if it goes up 15%, out.
No.
And if it goes down 15%, out. So I can't do that. So it's just going
to
be
the usual. I don't think so. I mean, because the way the game is, you have to ride these things.
Okay.
So unless you get that reversal.
All right.
So I just think you could do that in real life, but I think for the purposes of the game, I don't think it's something you want to do. Because what's you going to do? What is a big deal? You're going to get 15%. You're done.
All right.
It doesn't, you know, it's no fun.
Yeah. We're looking for big winners. All right. So I'm just going to have a 15% stop on that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
So that's a 3-time BRZU is the symbol. That's all I have.
I got one. I guess there's another insider's one I could put on here. It's an upward. It looks like it's got a lot of support. I think it might work out. This is PNR, Pentair Industrial Equipment Components Company out of the UK. And it's a heavy-duty insider. Guy's buying a ton of it. He's just a director. He's bought it over the... At the highest prices he's bought. I mean, this is like kind of tells me something's going on. First, he bought $25 million worth. Then he bought $11 million worth. Then he bought $18 million worth. Bang, 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 day after day. Something's up.
I'm going to put that in here and see if that comes up. So, Pentair PLC ordinary shares, about $66 per. So we're going to put down insiders buying.
Insider, one guy.
Insider.
Edward Garden. He plays around. He's bought this stuff on and off again. Bought a bunch of it at 47. He didn't sell it. He's been selling. What does he sell? He's a real player. He's one of these guys. He's not one of these one-shot guys. He likes to dick around. He sold, sold a lot of Wendy's and he dumped that at 11, went up to 16. So that was not a good move. Although he may have bought it dirt cheap. He's a big Wendy's guy. He's also apparently Bank of New York owner, big owner. Hmm. A lot of.
Well, he doesn't pick this like weird Wendy's one out of nowhere here.
He sold like $81 million worth of Wendy's at one pop.
Wow.
Anyway, this guy. So he looks like he's definitely got a lot of money.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. And we will pick it up next week. I'm going to New York this week. And I will see you again next Tuesday evening.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.